Sara in the Midrash. Now, there are a couple of questions on the Pasuk. One, and you might have noticed these questions if you learn with Rashi, you'll see, but you know, the Midrash was a little older than Rashi, quite a few centuries. But one obvious question is, the end of the previous Parsha has Akedas Yitzchak, but then right after Akedas Yitzchak, that's not the end of the Parsha, and then Chayisara begins. There are a few psukim that Avram Avinu received news about relatives that were born to him in his old country before his coming to Canaan. That there was in Nochar's family children, there were a couple of generations of new children, and that was his news. So you have Akedas Yitzchak, you have family news, and then you have the death of Sarah. And what is the connection? That's an oral question that the Midrashim might deal with. We'll see as we go on. Then the wording of the very first pasuk is also a question. It was the days, the life of Sarah was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, the years of the life of Sarah, loose translation. Now, what does all of that mean? You said her years, and then you say Shnei Chaye Sarah. So those who are familiar with Rashi and Chumash know that Rashi talks about this. But as I said, the Midrash was a little older, so we'll see what the Midrash does. Now, this Midrash is going to do what I think I explained a couple of weeks ago. Sometimes the Midrash is bothered by a question, and it brings a pasuk elsewhere as an introduction, either from Tehillim, Mishle, or the Nevi'im, wherever it's from, it doesn't really matter. But it brings another pasuk and uses that pasuk to speak about, it projects the message of that pasuk into what the parsha is. But sometimes it doesn't do that immediately. It will bring that pasuk, which is going to be a preface, or it's going to shed light on something that's here in the parsha. But before it speaks about the parsha, it might say something in general terms, or speak about something that is referring to something else. Once he has the pasuk, he'll darshan a few things. That was the format in which they would lay out the midrashim, when these midrashim were set in public formats. So we may see a little of that coming up here. Now, it brings a pasuk in Tehillim. Actually, in our shul, we're due to say this pasuk tomorrow morning after davening. We finished with Lamed Vav today. Yodea Hashem Yemei Smimim V'Nachlosam La'olam Tiyah. It says that Hashem knows the days of, or the years of, if you will, of complete, of people who are complete in their way. That's usually tamimim. It doesn't say yamim tamimim, days that are complete, but days of, or years of, those who are tzaddikim who are complete. Hashem knows what they are. V'nachlosam la'olam tiyah, their property or their legacy will always be continually living on. Now, what is that referring to? So the Midrash goes on and says that this is a reference to something specific. Kishem shehen tamimim, kach shenosam tamimim. Just like the tzaddikim are complete, others like to use the word perfect, which I'm not sure that that's so compatible. So their years are also complete. Now here Rashi on the Midrash says, as well as the Matnas Kahuna, it could have said Meya ve'esrim v'shevashonim. I omitted that question, but that's really the first thing we're addressing here. It could have said the years of Sarah were, or Meya ve'esrim v'shevashonim, 120 and 7. No, but it says 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Why all these years? They're all the same. So it shows that their years also were complete. In other words, their completion didn't only arrive at a crescendo at the end of their life. there were levels of perfection in their life as they went along that always remained. There probably were stages. There had to be. I mean, to say that a tzaddik was the same at 20 as he was at 80 is not a compliment. That means he hasn't grown. That's not good. But what it means is that the foundation of what he had at 20 remained still just as stable at 80 as it was at 20. But here we'll see the figures, and we'll see that the completeness is not just about any one aspect. Bas Chof, when Sarah was 20, she was kevasayin lenoi. She was like a seven-year-old in noi, means decoration, or but I always learn it to mean her natural beauty, whatever was in her skin, in beauty was there, even when she was 20. Bas kuf kivasesrim shana lechet, when she was 100, she was like when she was 20. In 20, up until 20, that is, she didn't do any sins, meaning that she was not accountable to be punished, because before Matan Torah, they weren't punished until 100 years. So that's how Matnas Kahuna explains it. Not everyone says it so openly, but we'll go with the Matnas Kahuna, that when she was already 100, that she was open for punishment. She was like 20. She didn't do anything wrong that would warrant any punishment from heaven. And then, yeah, so that's it. So what we have is over here, we draw parallels that in her level, in whatever quality she had, they were there at a young age, jungerit, and they remained when she was older as well.
You know what I see from this is there's like an innocence. You know, she was innocent at 7, innocence at 20, innocence at 100. Adam and Eve, when they committed the sin, they were embarrassed. They no longer had that innocence.
Well, they weren't meant to, but Sarah, it's not a matter. She didn't do any averus of that type, so she had nothing not to be innocent about. So. Others over here invoke a different chazal on this pasuk that's brought in Gemara and in Midrashim, that Hashem, and I don't see it in the words here that this midrash is referring to it, but the Yifei Toyar, and I saw others bring it as well. The chazal say that Hashem sits, whatever that means, he convenes, and he fills the years of tzaddikim that they live fully. Like we know Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zayin Adar, he passed away on Zayin Adar. And there are such examples of tzaddikim throughout the millennia that were born and passed away on the same day. So Hashem fills our years exactly to the moment, to the day. But I don't know that fits into the Midrash here, even though the Yefas Toar brings it here and he tries to incorporate it as a non-written preface. I don't know if one needs to go that far. But anyway, Dovar Acher, another pshat. Now, this first approach basically compared the various years of Sarah, not only about her not doing sins or her innocence or the development of her body. When she was 7, there was nothing to weaken her body. Some Meforshim say she didn't have a period yet at that age, which could potentially take something away, weaken somewhat, or detract somewhat from a woman. Sarah didn't have that. That's how Matnas Kahuna explains it. although, yeah. Now Rashi has a slightly different text here. He says when she was 100. When she was 100, she was like 20 as far as her skin image. That's already a bigger leap. And when she was 20, she was like 7 for sins. I mean, he goes a little different than the Matnas Kahuna. The Matnas Kahuna said that before the Torah was given, non-Jews were whoever was held accountable by the age of 100. But Rashi seems to say, no, it was at the age of 20, which is the conventional wisdom. So not like the Matnas Kahuna. So his text is different. That he says 100 was like 20 for noi, for the physical attraction, whereas 20 was like 7 for sins. So that's in the first way. Dovar Acher, the second way, is going to say like this. It's not going to make those contrasts, but it's going to say to us that Yodeya Hashem Yemei Samimim, again with the pasuk that we invoked from the Psalms, Hashem knows the days of those who are perfect in their actions or in their behavior. So here it's just Zo Sara Shahisa Tamima B'maseha. This is Sara, that she was complete in her actions. It wasn't only that there was no chait, there was no wrongdoing. She was perfect in her actions. Now, what is the point here? What is he really saying that's different? I mean, it's talking about her actions. So what he's doing is he's putting it all on an even keel. It's not about noi, it's not about anything physical at all. It's only about her deeds. But is this Dovar Acher answering the question? I mean, it should have said, Meya v'esrim v'sheva shanim, or sheva v'esrim u'meya shana. Why are the two shanas, extra shanas, inserted? Meya shana, esrim shana, sheva shanim. That this doesn't seem to address. By saying she was tmima b'maseha, without making any corollary to the different stages of her age, how does that answer the question? So Rashi is bothered by that. And Rashi here says that Chaye Sara was said twice, but he's going on the words Chaye Sara. He's not asking our question. Vayiyu Chaye Sara, and then at the end of the pasuk, Shnei Chaye Sara. So he says, what's that repetition? So that he says, because he really goes on the last part, but that's not addressed over here. That Chaye Sara was from both worlds. That we'll see in the continuity in the at the end of the mission of the midrash. But what is he saying here? Tmima b'maaseha. I mean, what is that explaining that the first pshat didn't explain? It's leaving out the physical aspect. Good, granted, but what is it really telling me, and how is it addressing the questions any differently? Unless it might mean that in her lifetime she went through various strange situations. She had traveling in general, there were famines, she was abducted twice by two kings. It could be that it means that at whatever stage of her life she lived with its challenges, she was the same person. And maybe that's what's accentuated by marking off Shana at different phases of her life. That could be, but I'm not so entirely satisfied that that's what it means. Now we'll see. Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Now Rabbi Yochanan inserts something here, which also we have to know what's his contribution to the cause. He says, Ka'ad hada agaltar aglasa tamima. It is like a complete calf. Sarah was like a complete calf. Now, does that mean we should look at our matriarch like a calf? I don't know. So the Marzav says he doesn't know why this is written here. He brings another midrash where it's brought in the next midrash, but there it, I think it might fit in a little more, the Rabbi Yochanan. Why is it brought in over here? What's it necessary? So the Marzav doesn't know, so probably Brisman doesn't know either. So, but it's a question. I was stuck on that too. What relevance that would have over here? So, okay. It could be what it means. There might be some direction here in the Yefei Toar. Because very often, not, I don't know, often, but in Tanakh you find that beauty is sometimes described in terms of a calf. Very famous pasuk, it's in the Haftorah of Parshas Bo. Egla Yefeifia Mitzrayim Keretz Mitzofein Uba. So Mitzrayim was looked upon as an Egla Yefeifia, as a beautiful calf. So what it's saying over here is that she was like a beloved, a perfect calf, which also is a way of explaining beauty. But he's using this as an analogy to her being complete in their actions. And maybe the meaning can be, sometimes when people are so exact in their actions, it might turn people off. They're too perfect, they're too correct. I'm not comfortable by this person. Anytime I breathe in the wrong way, I'm impaired somehow, I'm not doing the right thing. So that's what it's saying. No, Sarah was perfect in her actions in such a way that turned no one off. No one was repelled or repulsed by it. Then the Midrash goes back to the second part of the Pasuk. It said, Yodea Hashem Yemei Samimim. Hashem knows the days or the years of those that are complete in his service. V'nachlosam la'olam tia, and their property, their legacy, their inheritance will be eternal. It's always going to be there. Now, what does that mean? Shenemar, as it says, vayiyu chaye Sarah, and the years of Sarah were there, were. Vayi, the word yiyum is future tense, but the vav turns it from future, Tzvav HaMahapech. It turns future to past tense. But her years of Sarah were. So I would have said a drash, and sometimes you can do this. You can do a flip-flop in one word. You can say Vayiyu means and they were, but it also means and they will be. So in one word I could say the years of Sarah were and they will be. So there's eternity. That's Nachlasam Lo'olam Yiyah. But the Midrash doesn't do that. That's my Midrash, but not the Midrash. The Midrash says something else. What was the need to say at the end, to sum it up, the years of the life of Sarah? We said, Chaye Sarah were, and we said the amount. Why the last three words? What's that coming to validate? What's that adding? Lomar Lecha tells you, says the Midrash, Shechoviv chayeim shel tzadikim fnei hamokam b'olam hazeh u'l'olam habah, that the life of tzadikim is dear before Hashem in this world and in the next world. So first there is vayu chayei Sarah is of this world. Then after we say the life of Sarah was 127 years, we sum it up by saying, you know, the buck doesn't stop here, or the performance doesn't stop here. It's Shnei Chayei Sarah beyond that into the next world as well. That's what the Midrash seems to say over here. That's why there are two Chayei Sarah. So the last part of the Midrash is resolving why it started Chayei Sarah and why it ended Chayei Sarah. It's two different Chayei Sarahs. That's what we have so far. So there is Chayei Sarah for Olam Hazen, Chayei Sarah for Olam Abba. So the Midrash basically tells us a couple of things, that there is a statement that Sarah's life in this world was consistent and going along, and also the second message is it will remain for the next world. Now, here comes, so the Midrash was really bothered more, not with all of the questions I mentioned earlier, was bothered with a new question. Why Chayei Sarah at the beginning and why the same words, Chayei Sarah at the end? That was the main thing that the Midrash was bothered with at the end, that we just covered. And then at the beginning, the Midrash was bothered with the repetition of the word Shana. Meya Shana, Vesrim Shana, Visheva Shanim. Should have only said the word Shana or Shanim once, not three times. So that was explained with the first part of the Midrash. Now we're going to come to another Midrash. And here I'm going to cheat a little, and I'm going to tell you that the Midrash is bothered by one of the questions I mentioned previously. I said that the few Midrashim we're going to have, we'll see a few questions. Now, the question is, what is the connection between the very, very tail end of the previous Parsha, Vayera, where Avraham Avinu gets news about his family, to Sarah's death? Why are the two put together? What is there to learn from that? But we're going to have a long-winded statement until we come to the end of the Midrash. If time isn't permitting today, God willing, tomorrow's another day. But let's see what it says. It brings a well-known pasuk relatively at the beginning of Koheles, with a drash that's here. It's another midrashim, but it's a well-known among people who learn. It's a well-known drash. The Koheles says about life something we all know, and his point is how life goes on and there are different cycles. Therefore, what's our purpose here? That's the center of the whole theme of Koheles. So one of his first statements is, in the fourth or fifth pasuk, it says, V'zorach HaShemesh uvo HaShemesh. The sun shines and the sun sets. No, Yasher Koyach, we all know that. Our two-year-olds know that, the V'zorach HaShemesh uvo HaShemesh. But it is meant to compare the two, but not, there's only one sun at different times of the day, but sun also represents total light and total clarity. And total light and total clarity, obviously, is the Torah, is Hashem, but also various tzaddikim who illuminate the world during their tenure in this world, during their lifetime here. So he says, Omar Rav Kahana, Abba Bar Kahana asks my question, and we'll see his answer. I gave a little of the key. V'chi ein anu yodim shezorach HaShemesh uvo HaShemesh. Duh, don't we know that the sun sets and the sun rises, or the sun rises and the sun sets? We all know that. What is Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of old men, of all men, is telling us something that we need to know. So far, tell me something I need to know. I don't need to know those four words. But Eloh, he means something more. You got to think, when Shlomo HaMelech tells you the obvious, you got to think, what is he really telling us? So what is he really telling us? So the Midrash explains, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana says, Ad shelo yashkia HaKadosh Baruch Hu shimshei shel tzadik hu mazriach shimshei shel tzadik chaveroi. Before Hashem brings, sets the son of one tzaddik, he makes sure that he's covered. We'll have examples of that. So Hashem will not take a tzaddik from this world unless that tzaddik is somehow replaced. but the replacement isn't on credit. I'll take Tzaddik A now, and 20 years from now, I'll bring you Tzaddik B. Hashem doesn't operate like that. Hashem makes sure that Tzaddik B is already here, up and around to some extent, when Tzaddik A has to disappear. If you want, you can add another point here that the Gemara tells us in a few places. Ein malchus negas b'chaverta af kimloi nima. That one kingdom does not overlap in the other. Even mloi nima is a thread. Even a thread length or a thread width into another person's. What's mine is mine. You can't tread in it. What's yours is yours. I can't tread in it, even in the most minute way. I mean, I can try. I can misbehave. I can be inappropriate. But that's not how it ultimately works. Ultimately, you're king when you're meant to be king, and when you're not meant to be king, you're not king. How you're deposed or how you retire, that's a different story. But that's what's meant. What's allotted to us, we have to the second. So here we're going to have some examples. Yom Shemes Rabbi Akiva Nolad Rabbeinu. The day that Rabbi Akiva passed away, Rabbeinu was born. Now, who is Rabbeinu? So the simple way, Rabbeinu is our editor of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbeinu HaKodesh. So Rabbeinu HaKodesh was born the day Rabbi Akiva died. And I guess when he became Rabbeinu HaKodesh, or maybe they knew it when he was born, that was his destiny. But it says, V'koru Olav, they declared about him, V'zorach HaShemesh Uvo HaShemesh. The sun shone, and now the sun set. So in other words, he came up. It's not just the sun shone this morning, it's setting tonight. No, the sun shone even before it set. Meaning, son number two, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, was just born before Rabbi Akiva's son had set. There's one example. We'll see if it's over here. I don't think it is. But in Ksubis, and I always bring this up in our Daf Yoimi, B'yom Shemes Rova Noilad Ravashi. I always quote it. I think I even quoted it this morning. And the day that Rava passed away, who was the last of the major Rosh Yeshivas of the Amoraim, Rava was the Basroi, was the last. It was Rosh Masifta Basroi, was the last head of the yeshiva. And the day that Rava passed away, Ravashi, who emerged as the editor of the Talmud Bavli, was born on that same day that Rava passed away. But I'm cheating in telling you that because I don't think it's going to be over here. So we will see. It's in the Gemara in Ksubas. Now, here it says again, Yom Shemes Rabbeinu, the day that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away. Nolad Ravada Barava. Ravada Barava was born. He's also very prominent in the Gemara. V'koru Olav, and they also declared concerning Ravada Barava. And again, I don't know if they knew it the day he was born. Maybe he was born in a prominent place, so they assumed he was meant to be the one who would take over. Maybe that's what it means. Or maybe it means they looked at the calendar retroactively when Ravada Barava became Ravada Barava. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'm not sure what it means. But V'koru Olav, again, they invoked the same rule. V'zorach HaShemesh Uvo HaShemesh. Right before the sun set, another sun had arisen. Yom Shemes Ravada Bar Ahava, the day that Ravada Bar Ahava died, Nolad Rabbi Ovun, and also Koru Olav, V'zorach HaShemesh Uvo HaShemesh. Now that's another one, Rabbi Yovan. Now we're going to have one that's a little bit sad, where a son is named after a father. Yom Shemes Rabbi Ovun, the day Rabbi Ovun died, Nolad Rabbi Ovun Brei, his son Rabbi Ovun was born. So he passed away, and his mother bore him. Now they named him after his father. I've met a number of such people who were named after their fathers. And again, they had the high hope that he would be what his father was, at least in greatness. V'koru olav. Yeah, it doesn't say here that, again, they called. It was obvious. They said, v'zarach ha-shemesh uva ha-shemesh. Yom shemes rabbi ovun, nolad abahoshia ishtariya. The day that Rabbi Ovun died, so a man of stature, you don't really have him so much mentioned in Gemara, was Abba Hoshea, the man of Tarya. I don't believe that we find him too much in the time of the Gemara. But here there's an interesting observation from the Radal. He says that here you see he must have been in the days of the Amoraim. So, but there is one in Tosefta too, that he must be somebody else. He was Yeshaya Ishturaya. It's in a Tosefta in Bava Kamma. So he had to be a different person. He's not the same one here. That even though Yeshaya Hoshea is of the same name, but they're not the same person. Can't be. Now, what's interesting here is you don't have the same refrain repeated that Koru Olav Zarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh. You don't have that. Yom Shemes Abba Hoshea Nolad Rabbi Hoshea, or Hoshaya. The day when Rabbi Hoshea died with the Aleph at the end, Rabbi Hoshaya with the Hey at the end died. And here it does say Koru Olav Zarach HaShemesh Uva HaShemesh. So it could be that maybe they declared it about people that they knew were famous. On others, they didn't really know. They weren't that well known, but we knew from later on, from later periods, that they were of great stature. That could be why it's not written by a couple, but I don't know otherwise. I don't have a better reason than that. Okay. Now we're going to go back to biblical times. Ad shelo hishkia shimsho shel Moshe, hizriach shimsho shel Yehoshua. Before the son of Moshe had set, there was Yehoshua had arisen, he had emerged. As it says, Hashem said to Moshe in Parshas Pinchas, Moshe was wondering who is going to take over. Hashem has to appoint someone. So Hashem responded, Kach lochas Yeshua bin Nun. Take Yeshua bin Nun and prep him for the position. So here we have that even in biblical times for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the same thing. Now, I had a little comment I wrote here on the side of my midrash. A little question. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that Pnei Moshe kechama, Pnei Yeshua kelevona. Right? The face of Moshe was like the sun, and the face of Yehoshua was like the moon, which means Yehoshua was not a source of light unto himself. He received everything directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. So, that's not so sunny. Why is it called the son of Yehoshua? It's not a big question, but I wrote a quick comment, I guess, when I was half awake, probably. So I wrote this little comment for my memory bank. But it's not a big question to begin with. When Yehoshua is the leader, he is the sun. When you're contrasting him to Moshe, he's the moon. So it's not a big question. It's just interesting that Yeshua is described as the moon, and here we say the son of Yeshua. So that was what caught me. But it's not really a question. Not such a big question. Then it says actually Shaka Shimsho Shel Yehoshua Zorcha Shimsho of Asniel ben Knaz. Shenemar Vayilkada Asniel ben Knaz. Which is a drash. I think he's relying on a Gemara and Tmura here. But it says about before Yehoshua passed away, the next great leader of Torah and also of military tactics was Osniel ben Knaz, who conquered Hebron by himself, and Kalev, who was entitled to the city of Hebron, gave his daughter over to Othniel. But Othniel was also known for his great ability in elucidating Torah. It's brought that many halachas were forgotten during the 30-day mourning period of Moshe. This is the Gemara in Temura. And the Gemara there says, Othniel, with his pilpul, with his ability to have his sharp ability of analysis, was able to restore that knowledge. So he did that in Yoshua's lifetime. So the son of Othniel ben Knaz began to shine in the day of Yoshua, plus his leadership militarily in conquering Hebron, just, it seems, even single-handedly, I don't know. But he was also called, here the Matnas Kuna brings that Gemara that says that he's called by other names. He was called Yavitz, which means he is a judge, he is a jurist to decide halachas, and he taught Torah. So then we say, Ad Shiloshok HaShimsho Shel Eli Zorcha Shimsho Shel Shmuel. Before Eli HaKohen, he was the great leader in his time in the Mishkan and Shiloh. So before the Kohen Gadol Eli died, Shmuel already began to show certain signs of prophecy of Nevuah. That's written in the Sefer Shmuel, that he heard a voice and even a calling to him, and he got up and he thought it was Eli, and it happened a couple of times. Eli said, I didn't call you and I didn't hear any voice, but Eli was a great person. He realized that was a special message, that Shmuel was becoming a Navi. It wasn't just he had a bad dream or he was hearing things. He heard the right things and that he was becoming a Navi. Okay, it's late, I think. Okay, Mitzvashem will pick up on this tomorrow. Yeah. It is, that's true too. Yeah, there are a few words like that. The Gros points that out on the word by Machsis HaShekel, Venosno. Also, you write it backwards. So the Gros points out that's the source to Chazal that says that the person who gives is receiving as much as the one who received. The giver is also a recipient.